rip through a desert on a horse with no name.
Picture this. Every employee is on time, safe in the comfort of a drug-free workplace, and operating at the peak of performance under industry-best hiring practices. Sound like a utopia? It isn't. It's your workplace, and it's possible. You're about to learn how. Welcome to your new utopia. Welcome to Successful Hire.
Hello, Podcast Land. It's Tuesday.
And you know what that means.
It's podcast time, Todd.
Yes,
I'm Dan Oblinger with the National Screening Bureau.
And I'm Todd Sutcliffe.
And today we're going to talk to you about a recent trip we took.
We did. We just went to Phoenix, Arizona with the NAPBS, which stands for the National Association of Professional Background Screeners. And Dan, they had their 10-year anniversary. And I'm proud to say we've been members for 9 of those 10 years.
That's right. That's a long run.
It's been a good run. So we talked about a lot of new stuff going on in the industry, reviewed the past year. And also, one of the biggest things I thought this year was they had an amazing breakout session speaker.
Do tell.
Listen like a negotiator.
Hey, I know a guy that does that, too.
Man, and I'll tell you what, you did an amazing job there. I just wanted to give you a shout-out and let you know that I don't think you're going to be in the breakouts much longer.
Todd, what are some of the things that you learned in the educational sessions at the NAPBS conference?
Well, we recapped some of the things that were going on, like EEOC. There was a lot of action on EEOC last year.
So the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has made some moves.
They made some moves.
Tell me more.
There's been several fines. You know, it started off with Pepsi-Cola. $3 million fine there.
Ooh, yeah, it's real money in the Oblinger world. I don't know about Sutcliffe world.
It's real money here too, man. So then we moved on to BMW and Dollar General.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them had big lawsuits filed against them. But then the tides changed, and the EEOC basically got their hand slapped, and they said, hey, previous criminal history is not a protected class.
This is the court. The courts have come back. Under appeal. Okay, good.
Right.
So that's getting walked back a little bit. So the pre-employment screening should still be done. That's clear, both from the EEOC and now from this latest ruling.
Right. So there was standing ovation when that was announced.
There was. I was present for
then,
that.
But then right after that, they said, but don't forget about Pepsi, because there's still that $3 million fine that's out there, and nothing's been done with that yet.
So. And that related to Pepsi asking the question, or what we call now banning the box, the issue of whether you can ask applicants if they've had prior criminal history.
Actually, that was the diploma.
So that was about Pepsi asking in their job application whether the applicant had a high school diploma without tying that to a job need.
Right.
Got it.
Right. So honestly, you know, I still feel, my personal opinion is the EEOC guidance, it was a little strict, but it's still good business practice. You need to have the background checks reflect the job that the person is going to do. We still stand behind it at National Screening Bureau. We think it's a good deal, but it's good that they're not going to have the teeth that they had. Gives the employers a little bit of breathing room. Another thing that they talked about was fingerprinting. Fingerprinting is becoming a bigger deal.
It is, and there's still a lot of logistical obstacles.
Huge logistical.
Which we learned at the show. That was very clear.
Right. Yeah, this is the first time in 9 years that we've had fingerprinting vendors there selling their wares. Because it's being requested in more and more RFPs, and the government's trying to request it more. In fact, just last year, the IRS, they wanted to do fingerprinting on every tax preparer out there.
That's a lot of folks.
That's a lot of people. It really is. And NAPBS actually stepped in, and they actually talked to the IRS about it, and they showed how a traditional background check that NAPBS recommends is better than a fingerprint. The IRS actually put that program on hold. It did not roll out, and they are reevaluating it. Find out more next year what's going to happen with that. But that's one of the ways the NAPBS really helps the association and our members and our employees is by showing best practices. Another thing that's been talking about is there's a Safe Roads Act. This is more for your over-the-road motor carriers. We're working on putting together a clearinghouse initiative for drug and alcohol testing results. So if you've been working at one company and you're moving to another company, if you've had positive test results, they're gonna go into a clearinghouse so that we can have better sharing of that information to try to keep those habitual users off the road.
Very good.
So NAPBS has been a part of that. This year there were over 5,900 bills that were introduced that could have affected our industry.
And that's across the nation, both at the state level and the national level, correct?
Okay. Right. There's 200 of them, 90 of them now, that are being tracked. They have to do with like social media, mug shots, and just access to records. One example, California, they wanted to do a $10 access fee for all records.
That would make background checks much more expensive.
That would be brutal. So once again, NAPBS stepped in, and that is no longer the case.
So no longer a pending bill.
Right.
Very good.
So we're pretty proud to be members of the NAPBS, and if you're not using National Screening Bureau, just talk to your background screening company and make sure that they're a member of the NAPBS. Because really, in the long run, it benefits the employers that we work for to be members of a national association.
All right, Todd, so we learned about the EEOC. We learned about all the legislation that's been out there. What else did you learn?
Well, they gave us a prediction of what to expect in 2014. And if we had a crystal ball, it would be great. But what the prediction was we think there's going to be more action from the FTC. They're kind of the group that is over the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Shared with another department, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
That's the new one, right?
That's the new one.
Yes.
FTC still has authority, and recently we've seen some action from them, and really it's coming down in the area of adverse action letters and pre-adverse action letters. So make sure you are sending out your pre-adverse action letters. If you have a question on that, we'll have another podcast on that.
Just on the FCRA protocols.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, anything else?
The only other thing, we sat in on one other meeting where Department of Homeland Security.
ICE was there, yes. Right,
and talking with them, they said it is in their plans to audit roughly 3,000 new companies this year.
So, and he said it in suitable federal law enforcement officer excitement. We plan to audit 3,000 businesses.
Yes.
He was not an excitable fellow. But seemed very knowledgeable about the current auditing.
He was initiative. Very knowledgeable. He knew where we were going and what was happening.
Great. So we learned a lot in almost every facet of the business. You know, there was great educational speakers and informational sessions.
Right.
And, I was glad to go.
Oh, it was great.
And I was glad to present. So a little plug for the Speakers Bureau.
Right.
We were down there speaking. We offered our Listen Like a Negotiator session. It was extremely well received. We had great feedback, including from Denise and Natalie at the Orsis Group.
Oh, yes.
Natalie didn't actually go, but she thought it was great.
She did think it was great. She'll tell you so. Tell us a little bit about meeting them.
Well, you know, I could tell you about it, Todd, or I could actually have you listen to a little bit of the experience going out into the desert with our friends at Osseo Data.
Right.
Let's listen to it now.
Well, hello, podcast land. It's Tuesday. I'm Dan Oblinger.
I'm Todd Sutcliffe.
And we have some special guests with us from the Orsis Group out of Troy, Michigan.
Natalie Mishley.
And Denise Sarnik.
Very good. And
Tron Womack.
And Corey Kirk.
With us from Osseo Data. And we are all at the National Association of Professional Background Screeners 2013 annual conference.
Dan, this was their 10-year anniversary.
10 years, Todd. That's a pretty good record. And we're in the limo, which would explain the honking.
That was a little disturbing. I thought we were going to die.
So we thought it'd be fun because we were all in educational sessions all day. And in the case of Tron and Corey speaking with clients and potential clients all day about our industry, that we should just run through some things that we learned today. Todd, why don't you start us out?
Well, Dan, one of the sessions I went to was on workforce, worksite enforcement. And we had a representative from the Department of Homeland Security and ICE there speaking, and one of the things that I thought was really interesting was they are planning on doing 3,000 audits this year in 2013-14. So if you think we're safe, we're really not. So Corey, what did you learn today?
This is my first conference this year. I learned a lot about partnerships, learned a lot about integrations, and enjoyed the opening ceremonies today, listening to the 10-year success story that NAPBS has had.
Now, Corey, when you say integrations, what are you talking about? What is an integration?
The partnerships between companies and how they work together, how they integrate their software with others and build partnerships that benefit each other in a symbiotic relationship.
It's amazing how much these companies do these partnerships to service our customers and give them the best experience. Thank you, Corey.
All right, his partner, Tron, I'm sure learned something. Tron, what do you got?
All right, this is Tron. I learned that scorpions glow in black light.
Who are you with?
I'm Denise Zarnik with the Orsis Group.
What does the Orsis Group do, Denise?
The Orsis Group does criminal background checks, verifications, and drug testing. They also do corporate investigation, training for workplace violence and sexual harassment.
And where are you headquartered out of?
Troy, Michigan.
Troy, Michigan.
Yeah. Go blue.
What was one interesting thing you learned today in one of the educational programs?
My overall favorite class, educational class, was listening. And that was done by Dan. And he did a remarkable job.
Thank you, Denise.
Hi, this is Natalie with the Orsis Group, and I've had a really great first experience at NAPBS today. I learned a lot about the guidelines for FCRA and EEOC, and went on a really cool desert tour and saw scorpions and rattlesnakes and
spiders.
And I also saw a gecko, but I was the only one that saw that, and that was pretty cool. Having a really fun time. We're back at the hotel, so have a good night.
I think it would be an appropriate time to say that Osseo Data is our platform of choice, as is the Orsis Group. And they also sponsored our desert run tonight. So it's fantastic.
Thank you.
So there you go, Todd. As you can tell, it was a little lighter than our normal podcast. So maybe that's good. We had a lot of fun. It's always good when you meet like-minded people in your industry that are in a totally different part of the country, but trying to deliver the same high-level service that we provide here at the National Screening Bureau. And again, it was a good time.
It was a great time. I'm glad we did it, and I can't wait to do it again next year.
All right, so that's our trip, Todd. But of course, while you and I are on our play date in the desert, things at the National Screening Bureau back here in the home office continue to roll on, and people and their backgrounds continue to come in. So what do you got for us this week?
Thank you.
Well, this week, Dan, unfortunately, this is one we see fairly often. Cocaine possession, which is a felony. And yes, drug abusers really do apply for jobs.
We know that.
A lot of our clients don't know that.
Yeah, 75% is this. It's just boilerplate. 75% of illicit drug users are employed. So that's why you're going to see crimes like possession and cocaine pop up on a pre-employment screening.
Wow. It's a whole different culture out there.
It is. And of course, to get that conviction, it might be helpful for us to consider, you know, what kind of criminal mind would be involved in possessing cocaine?
The criminal mind.
So, possession of cocaine, it's a felony, currently. I don't know for how much longer. There's a lot of different behaviors, Todd, that would fall into that, because how much cocaine would be considered simple possession, and how much would then put you over into what we call possession with intent, or sales of cocaine. And that's a question that can't really be answered in the law. Typically, what you'll see is if somebody gets a conviction for possession of cocaine, there was enough cocaine there to warrant a felony proceeding in a district court in Kansas or in another state. That means it's more than just, you know, residue. So this is at least user amount. What you're dealing with is somebody that uses cocaine. So the law is not going to delve into the use of cocaine, but you as an employer, you must. Like possessing cocaine and using cocaine, we have to consider those behaviors as going hand in hand, because why else would you possess the cocaine? Right. So this is not an issue for law, but it's an issue for employment. People that are possessing cocaine are people that are struggling with the use of cocaine. So this
it's not
is a safety concern.
Not someone who is riding on a bus and the person before them had cocaine and just some of it got on their pants.
The last one I had that I thought was great was we arrest the guy and we pull a little baggie of cocaine out of his pocket and he's like, "Oh, those are my pants."
Who is wearing those pants?
I had to explain to them when your left leg's in the left leg hole and your right leg's in the right leg hole. They're kind of your pants. I mean, maybe you didn't buy them. Maybe they didn't start the day in your wardrobe, but you're wearing them, which means you own everything inside of them, including the cocaine. That's the mental gymnastics required sometimes of people in the drug culture. But the bottom line for employers is when people pick up convictions for possession of a drug, they are in the culture of the drug. And all these things that go with it are going to come into your workplace if you choose to hire them. And if you don't do a background check, to look for those convictions and they're there, you're going to own that person just like they own that cocaine in the pants.
Wow.
So you can try to say, that wasn't my hire. They're in your company.
They're in your company, and they will affect your company. Very interesting, Dan. It's always good having your input.
That's what I'm here for, Todd. And with that, we did a recap of the trip. Brought you some updates legally out there for background screening for employers. We went through the queue and we ran through the criminal mind. I think it's time to get out.
Let's do it. Till next week.
I'm Dan Oblinger.
And I'm Todd Sutcliffe.
And this is Successful Hire.
And went through a desert on a horse with no name.
Cause I had no time to get out of the rain. Cause in the desert, they don't give you no name. Cause there's no one to give me the name. Da 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 da.
All right, and what's your name?
Everett.
Everett, thank you, Everett.
Now, I'm not gonna quit my day job.
Yes, please don't. Highly advise against that. All right.
Thank you for listening to the Successful Hire podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.natsb.com or email us at info@natsb.com.